Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that's where you did that.
Yeah.
That's 2 years of using this stupid thing. Oh, fuck, I didn't know that. Yeah, I always go to the preface thing. When did they put that there?
I don't know. It's yeah.
It's okay, Phil. You can always just say it's been there forever. It's all good.
Yeah. Sorry, Ken.
You want audio studies too?
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah. That's where the video settings are, right beside it as well. So. Yeah.
Who knew?
Hey, I'll be right back. I'm just going to mess with these lights for a second. 1 second.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. You figured out, Steve? I think Steve's got an internet problem.
That's better.
I think he's got an internet problem.
You think I do?
Well, because you're there and then you kind of freeze.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got like the highest, whatever. Let me run a speed thing if you want.
What the hell do I care? if you go, you see, he froze. See, he froze.
Yeah,
there.
He did.
He's going to go do a speed test. You do a 12 speed test. It doesn't mean anything. And he's a techie, eh? He's like you. Like, he went out and bought a mic for tonight. Like, that's how freaking...
Yeah, I can see the
freaking,
Yeti.
Exactly. That's how freaking goofy this one is.
I see the matte black Yeti.
But I'm always the one getting shit for being the non-techie. My internet's fine. My mic's working.
Your internet wasn't fine.
Doesn't matter. It
thank
is
now. Thank you to Linda Webb and
whatever.
For sorting out...
whatever.
What's their face for you?
Shaw.
Shaw.
Okay, you know what? While Steve figures out his life there, how's things?
Yeah, me.
Cool. He's in and out.
Yeah, you're in and out, bud. I think it's an internet connection.
Might be, yeah.
Ooh. You want me to try to move?
No. Do you know what? Maybe just do you want to disconnect and then pop back in again?
Or turn off my video? I mean, because are we...
We've done that.
Yeah, you can do that.
We used to do that.
Yeah.
When my internet used to be choppy, we would just take the video out.
Yeah.
Which made it a little bit better.
How's that?
Yeah, I mean, at least you're not choppy.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Doesn't look any worse.
Come on. The guy's better looking than both of us combined. What are you talking about?
Well, we know that, but nobody else knows that. And he doesn't know either because he can't even hear us.
He can't hear us now. I'm good, man. I'm working too much. I gotta find some balance.
I told you it's bullshit.
There's nothing. There's nobody to blame besides me. I've got time. I've got space. You know. I think it's a coping mechanism to try and keep away all the anxiety as well. So I'm just doing it. I'm working a ton and I gotta stop. Like, I gotta find a way to.
I think I understand that too. I think what it is, you just need a distraction right now.
Yeah.
You're probably gonna, I mean, I'm not listening to as much news during the day. I might have the TV on, but the volume's on zero and I got the tunes on, right?
Yeah.
And I'll listen to the tunes because, I mean, I mean, it's all day.
It's just too much.
Tonight. Well, first thing we start going to Corona. Everything's Corona.
Yeah,
Corona.
It's
Corona. That.
It's too much. It's too
it's
much.
Too much.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So do we have a guest tonight, or we've lost our guest?
May not. Don't know. If we can get him, we've got Steve Rad on. He is a super cool dude. To be totally technical about it, he's the founder of Abacus Brands. And he's got a pretty cool LinkedIn picture. He's even got the bow tie on and everything. But Abacus Brands.
I am here if you can hear me.
There you are.
There you are.
Yes, we can hear
you. We were going to say nice things about you, but
yeah, I was going to say nice things. Kenny, I don't know if you ever believe that Kenny's ever going to say nice things about anybody, so.
Whatever.
Welcome to the podcast. We're pretty excited to have you. Yeah. I was just telling listeners, but you're going to do a better job than I. The voice you're hearing is Steve Rad, founder of Abacus Brands. There's some pretty cool stuff going on here. Some VR, some 4D. I wish that I was a kid. I guess I can still play with these now, but I wish I was a kid growing up with your toys, because this stuff looks super cool.
So when we were at the toy fair before I met you in Global Pet, right? That was when I was in New York doing with Steve at the booth, and I think all the young people came up, I just stayed away from, because we had a couple young people at the booth and they can talk to young people. People my age came up. That's all we would go to. I say, I know when we were little, could you imagine having that's the conversation we'd go down, right? Because the technology is just, it's cool. The toy is freaking cool.
Yeah.
But so Steve, when you take over, introduce yourself. Obviously talk a bit about Abacus Brands, because we want to know. But I think ultimately what I was hoping we get into tonight was sort of where Phil and I were talking last week about how VR might help in the business world, especially at a time like this. So anyway,
yeah,
so light it up, buddy. Let us know who you are and what's going
for
on.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's crazy times right now. With everything that's going on in the world, I mean, I haven't put my VR headset down in 2 weeks. So you caught me at a good time where I can speak very, very highly and proudly about VR in general. But, so Abacus has been around for a few years. We started with licensing kind of code and developing games and toys for other brands and other companies. And then we kind of segued into our own range. Kids, it's a catch 22, right? We want to limit screen time. We're cognitive of screen time as kids ourselves and as fathers ourselves in our team. But we also want to use the technology to add value and to increase the amount of education that you can conceptually throw at somebody and kind of trick them into thinking they're gaming while teaching them. So that's kind of the backstory. We're trying to sneak education to the kids so before they catch on to what's going on. We have a very interesting lane. I mean, we know our demographic, we know our market, we know who we want to inspire and educate and, you know, entertain in so many ways. And it's a moving, you know, it's always a moving target. It's a very dynamic space, being in AR and VR. It's always changing. We're trying to figure out, you know, how we can spoon feed the data and the fun at the same time and make it all, you know, digestible without being too techie or too cool or too whatever, so that, you know, keep in mind we're a toy product, right? We're not just in the app store. We're not like competing against apps or Oculus or whatever the other digital mobile apps are. So it's a whole other world when, you know, we're trying to make cool, you know, items that are techy, but we also have to keep it tangible and digestible for grandma at Walmart or at Target or Costco or wherever she is to pick up this box and be able to digest what's happening. You know, as cool as we think we are, as much fun stuff as we put into these toys, you know, are we able to convey that message on, you know, on a 16 inch box within whatever that flat 4 or 5 seconds that you have to engage the consumer is. So that's been the challenge of, you know, finding, being the world's perfect birthday gift or Christmas gift or whatever, your educational, your entertainment, your what did I call it in New York? Edutainment? Yeah.
Edutainment.
So, you know, can you do all that and be, you know, the right price point? Because, you know, ironically enough, as we found out during our path, is that, you know, science and educational toys actually have less of a price point than the Marvel and the Disney and the Mattel and the other, you know, more fun stuff, if I may. So
really?
So yeah, I know. It's crazy. And it's crazy, especially overseas. I mean, we have like our international distributors, like our in the UK, they're like, look, there's not a single science item in any store that's more than $40. So, you know, as cool as you guys think you guys are with all your technology, AR, VR, this and that, whatever's going on, it's still a science toy, and people don't want to pay, you know, more than 40 pounds for science. So anyway, those are the challenges. But, you know, for us, like you guys said, you know, we're little kids inside, we're having a blast. Yeah. We're making stuff that, you know, to us is timeless. I mean, there's always going to be a science audience. I mean, we're now doing it with magic, and we're doing it with food, and we're doing it with, you know, the universe and dinosaurs, and anything you can imagine where we can put our touch on it and kind of bring that that content to life. So
that's what Steve, why don't you do this for them? Like, because I don't think people know what you're doing, obviously. Why don't you describe describe the actual toy itself? And, you know, because I'm the dinosaur of the group. And even when we were at the show, like, I was the oldest one by a country mile between you. I mean, you guys were much younger. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. I got God called dad all weekend. That's all good in the hood. It's not the first time. But what I'd like to do is, so because someone my age who never had any of the cool shit that you do, I love it because it sort of transcends time. It's got some elements of well, what I grew up with, combined with all these really cool things that kids can do today. And I think that's why you get the grandmas and not so grandma, grandpa, like people my age that can kind of gravitate to it. But maybe just describe what the toy is, a couple of the titles, and what you're trying to do and achieve with it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, basically it's taking a traditional science toy. All right. So you would have a science toy where you would buy, it would come with beakers and, you know, some chemicals like baking soda and some stuff where you can make crystals and kind of just engage the toy through, you know, with instructions in the book. And what we've done is basically taken, first of all, taken the book and really beefed up the content in the sense of publishing a really nice 70, 80, 90, 150 page book. Our atlas right now is 180 pages, which is just chaos, but we can't figure out how to do a proper atlas for less pages. But effectively you take a science book and, you know, we introduce it with a professor character. He's called Professor Maxwell. So you download the free app, you point your phone at the book. And as you point your phone at the book, it engages this character. The app knows what page you're on and knows what project you're on, and it's always scanning the content. So the professor comes out and says, hey, we're going to learn about density and why water molecules and oil molecules don't like each other, how they push away from each other, and oil and water separation is the lesson. Then there's images within the book, the step-by-step instructions all turn into AR videos. So as you point at step one, or you can start at step five if you want to, those pictures turn into videos right in front of, like, right on top of the book, within the frame of the book. So it's literally like pictures turning into videos. So it takes a guesswork out of, you know, the instructions. It's particularly interesting to do that play pattern with magic, because magic has never been taught in a way where you see every single maneuver and every single step come alive. Yeah. You know, where do I put what's a double lift pinky grip, you know, whatever, what's a force shuffle, you know what I mean? So now it's like every step literally comes alive on the book.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with the project, once you added the oil and the water together and the food coloring, the Alka-Seltzer, and it's all bubbling, and you've created this lava lamp thing project to teach you about oil and water separation, we have a goggle that's included in every set, and you put your phone into the goggle, and it takes you over, you know, in oil spill, so you can actually see it and attach a real life value to it and understand, you know, or you look at like salad dressing, or you look at like peanut butter, how the oil sits on top of the, you know, the emulsion it creates by separation. So we figure out a way, we look at content and we look at ways to tie in something that an 8-year-old can understand, a 9-year-old could go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Why every time I buy peanut butter, it's the oils at the top, you know? So those are, to us, those are things you retain for life. I mean, you understand simple lessons like oxidation and emulsions and, you know, carbon dioxide and certain things like, you know, why things do certain things, and you retain that for life. But you'll always remember, you know, when you made your first grilled cheese sandwich, for example, and who taught you how to make it, you know, even for your whole life. So why not squeeze in a little lesson about, you know, ripening, or why tomatoes or why cheese melts, you know, what those amino acids mean and what those bonds mean, you know? So it's like, literally, like I said before, finding a way to sneak in some science and some information in between all the fun. But that's the play pattern. That's what everything does. So we take on science that way. We take on food that way. Like I said, you learn about, you learn how to make some French toast, and then you go to understand how trees are tapped and how, you know, photosynthesis plays a role in extracting maple syrup from trees, right? So we do magic that way. We do exploring the space that way. So the play pattern is all the same. Just you read in the book, you experience, in VR, in the tech aspect, and then you go into an actual physical, tangible play and build something, touch something, cook something, do a magic trick, whatever it is, to actually tie in the physical, tangible play.
Yeah, it's super cool. I've had your, I don't know if it screws up your website stats, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I've had your little video trailer on your front page. I've had it on loop for, I don't know, like the last 10 minutes, and I'm not tired of looking at it. It's super cool. So
It's great. You got to see the new stuff. I mean, I think you're looking at the 4D version, which was a couple years ago. We did 4D. It was mainly augmented reality.
Yeah.
Then the new VR range is all about virtual reality, which is just really truly takes it to the next level. It's limitless. Yeah. It's boundless now as far as what we can achieve.
So that's a good segue. Do you mind, because you say both those things, right? You say 4D, like Professor Maxwell, one of your iconic characters. There's a Professor Maxwell's 4D lab, and then there's also VR. I don't think anyone really understands the difference. Do you mind just kind of explaining those?
The 4D range was our first kind of release. We licensed it to a company called Spicebox out of in Vancouver, actually. They got it into some great retailers. It did tremendous. It was a successful product in the sense that it was the first time combining kind of science and augmented reality. And augmented reality, for those for the audience that doesn't know the difference, augmented is happening in real life. It's like it's augmenting in your space, like when the IKEA app puts a chair in your room so you can see what it looks like, or Pokemon, or Snapchat, you know, the filters that go over your face. Mm-hmm. Those are all augmented. And then virtual, you're in another place, you're in another world, you're in a virtual space, a completely different environment. So the 4D range was mainly only augmented reality. We dabbled with a couple projects in virtual reality on two of the titles, just to see kind of how it would work and if the software would support it. And then shortly thereafter, the 4D range, we came out with a new VR range, which is actually releasing here in the next 2 months or so. It's hitting stores. And that is, like I said, truly just a whole nother world, because now you have a virtual experience on every page. So every spread you turn to, all of a sudden you're flying over a volcano. All of a sudden you're under, you know, the crystal cave. All of a sudden you're, you know, flying over the Mount Everest, or standing on the top of Everest. You know what I mean? So virtual reality really opens every door imaginable. That's the gateway that is limitless for us.
It's amazing. Wow, this is so exciting.
So easy to use too, Phil. Like, I mean, that's why when older people were coming by, like, honestly, you can look at things. So the concept of reading a book, most of us get. Most kids don't get that anymore. But all the adults, especially my age, got it, right? And then you just show them how the page sort of came to life. Right? And they're thinking, holy shit, this is really cool. You can watch the instructions kind of take form. I didn't get it. Just repeat it. And then you put the goggles on and go for a helicopter ride over a volcano, and it's talking to you full 360. Mm-hmm. It's pretty slick, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it is really slick.
I mean, you know, the magic trick example
is awesome.
Is a classic. It's classic, right? Like, I remember as a kid, you'd read like a million books. They all go through the same paragraph, and you're just like, what the F am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to tuck what card in where? Right? Like, it's the worst, right? Like,
Your parents who read it, don't do it. The grandparents don't do it. And what you end up, the magic hit is a family fight. And everybody's mad at everybody because nobody knows what the hell just happened.
But then what it takes is the 14-year-old three blocks over who figured out the trick. Right? He's just got to show you the once, right? You only need 10 seconds. And then you're like, well, that's not the paragraph at all, right?
That's not how it's written. That's not what it said.
You know? And then, I think, like, you know, the next step was, in learning was things like YouTube videos, right? Like, all of a sudden, like, all sorts of things were accessible, right? Like, where you didn't know how to do the magic trick, maybe you could deduct it from watching the actions, but like what you're doing now is a whole nother step forward that literally puts it in their hands, right? So I think it's I think it's an amazing way to live. It's fantastic.
You know, while we're on the subject of magic, when I was going to buyer meetings, you know, with all the major retailers, I literally went to a bookstore and I bought like five magic books, just any random five magic books, and brought them in with me. And I'm like, this is how kids traditionally learn magic. This is like, historically, you it's black and white. Maybe it's got a picture. It's got a picture to every step. Some of the steps that are too complex or too easy, they just like forget about pictures. So it's, I'm like, this is just chaos. The greatest part about art, not to keep talking about our magic kit, because it's you know, my favorite new item coming up. But you know, there was some recent study about CEOs or business owners or entrepreneur minded people. A certain like over 80% or so had a magic trick set or did magic or liked magic or were exposed to magic or begged their mom for a magic trick set or book at, you know, at some point in their childhood. So it's more than just magic to us, the way we built this one. It's, you know, instills confidence, public speaking, all kinds of other human traits and skills that we overlook. But anyway,
Is there a correlation? Did you find one, like, if you're better at magic when you're a kid, you're a better CEO or a better, I'm just trying to figure out whether there's any hope for me.
For sure. The correlation was that you're a better bullshitter.
Hey, I must've been a rock star then. Yeah. Holy shit.
I didn't think my magic was that good, but okay.
Apparently it was. I'll tell you.
That's fine. No direct correlation between any achievement. I think literally they, whatever the study was, something about when I can't remember his name, the X Factor guy won America's Got Talent, whatever, was a magician. They were like, you know, come to think of it, more and more, I don't know, it's probably some magic lobby and stuff at the news, to be honest.
I love this. I wanted to, I think, so, like, where Kenny and I were going with this last week, we were just talking about different ways to be able to deliver experiences. And I think what you're doing is, so one is, I think you're doing things that the world is trying to do. So, you know, in B2B industries, you know, there are companies experimenting with augmented reality to try and help operators, like people who work on machines and things like that. They want to be able to use augmented reality to help them learn or train, you know, how people learn on machines. But they're nowhere close to like this kind of learning level. They're all kind of like rudimentary steps. I guess one of the things that we wanted to prick your brain around was, you know, you think of where we all in this kind of crazy upside down world that we're in right now. There's about a million eyeballs that are hooked to screens, the internet, you know, watching. It's probably like an all-time peak in video consumption right now. You know, just curious about like some of these techniques out there, you know, whether VR or AR and how, you know, brands can use this stuff to their advantage. You know, how easy is it to shoot? You know, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's literally right now is probably the first year that we've seen, on the consumer level, we've seen a lot of, an insurgence of VR and 360 cameras. So getting the ability to shoot in VR is getting a lot easier. It's been around for a couple of years. It's already there. There's some great cameras out there. GoPro's got one, a company called Insta360 has a great one. Mm-hmm. The consumer cameras, are basically just that. They're good enough to, you know, for you to go and do some skiing, or I have a baby on the way. I'm planning on shooting that that birth in 360. But, you know.
It's amazing.
Scary. I don't know if Jackie knows that he's actually going to be filming, so he might want to check with the wife first. But, no. I think we lost him again anyway. I think on that, you better check with the wife to make sure that that's all.
That might have been his wife cutting him off right there.
Exactly.
That's not going into publication
anyway.
That's
not going to happen. We lost you there for a minute. That's why we're just talking around you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So effectively, you know, you got the ability to shoot, in 360, and then you can go back and relive that moment by, you know, using Facebook now allows you to upload in 360, so you can upload a 360 shot in VR and then go back to that exact moment and have a goggle on through your Oculus if you want, which is the, you know, the premier mobile, you know, gaming system for VR. Yeah. And effectively, you know, be back in that exact moment. So the question you asked about the professional space, that's where most of VR is truly being used. I mean, oil companies, training facilities, doctors. I mean, VR right now is more of a mainstream item in the training world than it is in the gaming world. 100%. All of our developers, everyone we work with, any partner, they prioritize, you know, a contract with Chevron to train, you know, people on the rig way before they care about, you know, making our professor talk to you about, you know, carbon dioxide, right?
So
that's definitely where the focus is. That's where VR truly shines. You know, but I mean, not to say doesn't shine on the game side, but it's still it's still a long way away from being as awesome as it can be. And to be where I don't know if you had any exposure to the Oculus yet, but I highly suggest you buy an Oculus Quest. It's the first, I'm doing like a free Facebook plug
here.
It's
awesome. It's awesome.
You know, it's wickedly insane in so many ways. And to just think that this is the beginning, this is the first one that went mobile with two controllers with spatial mapping where I could walk around my room and it knows if I'm going to hit something and I could walk over to Darth Vader and take the, you know, take his lightsaber and have a battle. And then I can go play an escape room. It's mind bending. It really is mind bending what's already capable or what's already possible. So from that angle, I mean, honestly, I can't imagine a world where in 2, 3, 4 years, every industry isn't pushing away a method to be virtual. You would imagine trade shows and you know, conferences, things where you could virtually be there. You don't have to technically be there. You know, there's so many things that VR could just take over and dominate. You know, training, I guess, is first and foremost the number one thing behind entertainment. Yeah. That's it. That's where it would stop.
Yeah.
Think about us, Phil, we were talking at the pet show, like if you could walk people through the stores, because we were doing the pet stores, it's like, you know, you could walk them through and show them what to do and show them what looks great and build with them. And it, like even you and I were talking in the old school presentations, you guys come in with, you know, a PowerPoint would be as slick as it gets and it's all static and there's nothing really happening.
But a really
right?
fancy PowerPoint.
Fancy power, but of course. It was mind-bending fancy with color pictures, you know.
For sure.
State-of-the-art, man. State-of-the-art technology. Whatever.
They have that now. They have presentation rooms now where you can basically do a Zoom or Skype or wherever you're doing and have a whiteboard where you're drawing on it. Your whole team is there. It's a you could be sculpting in VR and creating architecture in a room with everybody. I mean, I did a poker thing the other day, which was just insanely realistic. I mean, the people were all, it was all strangers. It was like you walked in a room at the in Macau and you sat there. Everyone had their own thing going on and banter, and everyone's, you know, within the game you could like buy a cigarette and like put it in your mouth.
Really?
You know, and then the guy next to you could snatch it out of your mouth and smoke. It's so crazy. Like it's just absolutely insane what they're pushing. But it's.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. See, I'm just trying to figure out how to do it, Steve, because we were talking about it last week. We're saying, okay, we're doing so much Zoom right now. Like I've never seen so many people, I think, in a normal work week than I've seen in the last couple of weeks on Zoom. 15 meetings a day, like all freaking day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's insane. But, and as cool as this is, because at least it's given us a chance to be physically distant, but we're still connecting, right, on a more personal level. But what Phil and I were even yapping about is it'd be so cool. And obviously you're telling me that technology exists. I just don't know how to incorporate it into sort of our space, which is more retail focused, or in Phil's world where he might be trying to show how this cool technology of his could be maybe better shown
in a virtual world. I mean, that's where we started going. And we thought, oh man, I'm asking Steve because he's probably going to know, going to be up to date with all this shit. And like, how do you do all this stuff, right? But I mean, even just like dumb it down to basics. Like, think of a normal presentation when you used to come in the old days and you'd bring the boxes in and we'd sit at the desk and we'd get all excited. How would you do that in a Zoom meeting to kind of give the feel of, you know what I mean? Like that extra. I mean,
look, you're talking to, it's really awkward for me because it's like, I'm a people. I want to be in the room with the samples, showing the, making the presentation and getting getting the human emotion, you know, the part of it where like the energy that creates emotion and gets people excited. At the same time, I'm like, whoa, how awesome is it? Cause I can have it all virtual, come out and, you know, do this and do a spin and go into straight into a video, and, you know? So, when you see like the Netflix app or the YouTube app in the Oculus for the first time and you go, whoa, okay, I get it. Like this, I see what's possible here in terms of a presentation or in terms of a being in an atmosphere and having something presented to you, be it a movie or a sales presentation, but that's what's possible. And then you're like, okay, so now we get everybody together in a room and now I could show them this virtually, but then the limitations are, you know, what are you uploading into there? Are you uploading, you know, 3D models of your stuff? Is there going to be an olive oil that you're going to re-sticker your brand over it? Is it the wine? You know, like where does it go? Is it start looking hokey? Am I up importing, you know, PNGs for my website and you know, it's mapping them to, anyway, I think it's a long, long way away from truly, you know, I would imagine there'd be some kind of a scanner first that would, you know, be able to scan what's in your hands in the room if you truly want to present like face to face. That would be probably a few years out before you have, you know, because it's already recognizing it went to the hand update, whatever, 2-3 months ago, right? So now it's got full tracking of my fingers. So now I don't even need my controllers anymore. So we're already at, you know, we thought gloves was coming first, you know, I say we like part of a VR counterculture, but I definitely thought there was like gloves or some kind of, you know, because I wanted to feel, I'm like, okay, we're always in our office, always like we play this game where we're anticipating the next, you know, what's the next thing the consumer wants. We want to feel, we want to like feel the basketball dribble and touch our hand, right? Like that's when it's really real, right? Because you got the Omnipad where you can run on it in any direction, you know, that's there. Now that, like I said, the hand tracking. So The next thing that we're anticipating is cameras pointing inward so that you see yourself. So you could be in the shot, right? So there's a camera inside the goggle that hits back at you. So it's truly modeling and keeping you, or it's an external camera of sorts to put you in the game. It's like, what does the VR world see of you? What do the other people see? Cause you can't see that now. Yeah, as far as mapping products, Ken, that's crazy, man. I don't know like when that's going to be possible. Aside from right now, doing a giant doodle on a wall, you know what I mean? Like you go into a presentation right now, you could do a giant doodle. That's basically it. Like today's business presentation VR software is a fucking giant doodle. It's just like you go into the room, you like point at this giant screen, and you just draw. And if you're like, it's just you're as good as your, you know, ability to, how big can you write number 427, you know, units sold or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess what it is though, Steve, you got to look at it, right? The air travel has been pretty much shut down. Forget internationally, even domestically, people are not running across the country to do stuff. Zoom is like, I think there's a lot of shit that's happened in the last month and probably for the next couple months while we get through this mess that are going to definitively have massive long-term implications on how we do things. And I'm for sure thinking that this might come faster than not, because I think there's a lot of businesses that are seeing, like I've talked to you know, my buddies in Toronto like 5-6 times this week on Zoom. I mean, I feel like they've been here. I honestly feel that they may as well have been in Vancouver. I've seen them more than I've probably seen Amelia, and Amelia's in the same house. Do you know what I mean? Like that's how much video we've been doing. And now I'm going to think the other way, that there's got to be, and I know it's going to come, I get it, but like, what's the next cool thing sort of in our world? That's not massively complicated. I mean, I'm not doing, fighter jet simulation here, but what is it? Like, how do we walk through those
I see. I think where we went with this too, like, so one of the things that I work on, Steve, is like it's a biometric workplace wearable. So it's a security device that authenticates when you put it on your wrist. And so to us, one of the most compelling things to do is to do a walkthrough, right? So what captivates every audience, you know, as soon as you walk into the room is you do a demo, you say, here's my biometric band. When I put it on, it, you know, it does this liveness check to make sure it's on the right person. And then I put my fingerprint in it, which activates the security token. And then it allows me to tap on things, you know, NFC, so I can start to activate, you know, when I walk away from my computer will lock down. I can tap on an NFC pad to open doors. And I think in my head, there's, you know, we're home now. And we're doing these pitches or shows on Zoom. I think that's where Kenny and I went last week, as I said, like, I want to be able to put this in their, you know, the closest thing to putting it in their hand. I want to be able to put it in their hand, right? And so to me, I think that's where we got super excited and wanted to pick your brain is you know, something like that, right? Where you're starting to simulate, you can give a potential buyer the chance to be able to virtually see what the product could do for them.
For sure. The closest that you can do that now would be like Google Tilt Brush. Google Tilt Brush allows for like vector import. So if you have, for example, something you've created, you know, a model of it, it has to be at a point of a vector 3D model of sorts and from Maya or CAD or whatever. From there, yeah, 100%. I could be in a room with you. You could be doing a presentation effectively and doing walking circles around this item, but you've imported it as a model. It's in my hand. I can make it as big as an elephant, or I could shrink it down and look at it, and I can twist it. And it's super, super high res malleable, right? I can go stand under it. I can take control of it. So that a lot of designers are using that now for the fashion industry to design clothing and be able to create something and then render it out and then put it into Google Tilt Brush, and a couple people will join in and look around and they can add to it and, you know, maneuver it and be able to assess it. So yeah, definitely you're there.
That's insane.
Yeah. But you know, that goes back to the whole thing I said earlier about the assets. Like who's able to knock out a 3D render of their item, you know, like, I make XYZ item, and okay, now I got to go, you know, pay a 3D guy to model it and make some kind of a, you know, a real life, you know, model out of it. So then I can import, I hope that comes out looking like what I made, and then import that into the software. So yeah, it's a ways away, but it's definitely, if you were motivated, it's very doable. It's very doable.
I'm waiting this for is... you two. One of you two to do it. I'm not going to do it. I wait.
I'm on the edge, eh? Like so Kenny, if I don't show up next week for the podcast and I disappear for about four weeks, this is what I'll be because this stuff's amazing. I'm looking at Tilt Brush now and it's
So I told you you'd get excited when Steve was on because you guys are
Tilt Brush, Tilt Brush is another world though. Tilt Brush really was Google's like flagship into VR. They were like, this is like When I saw Tilt Brush a few years back before it was even available on Oculus, it was like, what is going on? What is going on? Like to be in that kind of space creating art or whatever you want to create. I drew up my trade show booth in Tilt Brush for my team. I was like, I don't know how to draw this on a whiteboard. And I went into Tilt Brush. I was able to walk around and bring out some polygons and some spheres and make like this part, and then bring some other triangles out and kind of make my stairs and then my stage and then draw like my cabinets. But I'm literally like walking around my living room with a VR headset on, you know, drawing this, going around to the other side of it, finishing the other side, drawing power plugs on this side and going to the other side and say, okay, this is where the TV is going to mount. And literally drew the whole thing on let's say a tiny scale. And then I blew it up room size. And again, I could walk up my stairs. I could walk into the sphere. I could come out and look at the TV and look around at the aisle and see how it looks. So from that perspective, absolutely, it's already there. Like I said, it's as good as your drawing ability. That's it, right? So if you're motivated and you're artistic and you're visionary, we're there, buddy. otherwise, you know, giant doodle.
Kenny, I'll see you in like a month.
Yeah, I know. I've lost you now.
Or maybe like 2 years more.
You'll be flying out to hang out with Steve for a week.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is.
Phil, you have the Quest or you have the Oculus Go?
I have Quest.
Quest. Perfect. Yeah. You're in for a treat.
Okay.
If you haven't experienced Google Tilt Brush, it's absolutely fantastic.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm
sold.
Best $10 you'll ever spend.
I'm kind of excited. Yeah. That's going to be amazing. Okay. Wow.
And then, that's it for presentation. And then check out Sculpt. Yeah. There's a Sculpt VR app. That's pretty cool too. If you're going to, you know, make stuff and show, and that's, and then the rest of it, man, hey, let me tell you what the hot wave, it has nothing to do with business, but the hot wave of VR stuff to come is the escape room stuff. Oh my Lordy. Like escape rooms were like made for VR. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like, you're in a creepy place and there's like shit's about to hit the fan and you're like trying to figure out what this, you know, it's chaos. It's absolute chaos. It's the most refreshing part about, you know, about VR.
It is. So I've done a couple of the VR things and it's so real. I actually get motion sickness from them. Like they're amazing. Right. I think yeah. we did a Ghostbusters thing and it was just unbelievable. So I can't even imagine what that's a scripted, you know, adventure. So I can't even imagine what an escape room. I think it'd be amazing. Can't wait to see it.
There's a logic game that I want you guys to try. It's absolutely it's called Land's End. If you get a chance.
Okay.
It's like it's reticle based logic. It's like very calming. It's kind of therapeutic. It's educational, I think, you know, in the sense that it's logic puzzles. But we were trying to incorporate that kind of style into our next series of things that we do and see how we can kind of incorporate a little bit of like games. Because right now it's more like you're going in and kind of seeing the experience that we've created for you to be able to go in and play.
Oh, we lost them again.
Oh my gosh, it's just enough time for me to like process what's going on.
Okay, just think for a minute. Yeah, take a breath of air, sort of try to swallow all that. It's pretty slick though, eh? Like, I mean, the shit that they can do or what's going to happen out there. Like, I just sometimes wonder how long, like, what's the speed of all this and what is it, like, what are the sort of the practical applications that we might get out of this to have some fun with?
I think the one that might, you know, for our brands might be more around the 360 stuff, right? So we've talked about, you know, VR and all this stuff. I think being able to bring the experience of the store together, like a 360, allows people to actually, like, if you're thinking classic bricks and mortar retailer, if you want to be able to walk the store, like a 360 would help you do that.
But think about it. If you could put customers into the store, have them walking around so that you see how displays flow or where things sit on a shelf and you can, you know what I mean? If it could get smart enough where it sort of walks like a real customer, maybe that's what it's done. And you see shit. Okay. That is a hot spot on like all the things you could do before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
other stuff is cool, right? It's all great.
Yeah,
but I'm always trying to figure, okay, like in the world of where we are, like, how do we use this shit?
There's a whole bunch of, like, I mean, you know, one is if you could design a display that your buyer could actually walk around, that
absolutely.
They could see, they could touch and feel, like that's, you know, like, you know, because like right now you draw them out in little boxes and squares and they look exactly like every other planogram.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's what they are.
So exciting, right? You're like,
it's a 2D drawing.
Yeah, and it becomes a logistical exercise, right? How many facings can you fit? You know, that kind of stuff. But I do think making displays come to life, you know, from a sale, you know, selling a retailer, I think that stuff really comes to life. And then I think the part that I think that would be really interesting is for particularly, I think this works with small retailers, is being able to walk the entire store using like the 360 stuff. And then I don't know where, you know, all this stuff fits in, but imagine if you were able to grab something off a shelf in that 360 world and be able to look at it, right? Like it's something that Amazon has never been able to do, right? Like, you know, the the picture of a piano was the same size as the picture of a cell phone case. Yeah. So how the hell do you know what the difference is, right? And so being able to pick something up off a planogram immediately gives you the like relative size, and then be able to let you look and you know, kind of turn it over and look at it, right? Which I think is a big part of
imagine,
this also.
Imagine Amazon. Imagine what, you know, Amazon's going to come out with a VR something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, imagine you're shopping on Amazon in VR. Like, you know, yeah. That's like, that has to be like coming out tomorrow.
It's gotta. Like, it'd be so killer, right? Like I just turn over my entire paycheck to Amazon and just...
Yeah, no shit.
You know, but yeah. No, I really think that, right? Like, I think that's where it's got to go, because I think that's the part that's lacking now, right? Like, that's where they're losing anyway. The small bits that they're losing to experiential, right? Which is folks that go, I can't touch it. I can't see it. I can't imagine this shot and what it's supposed to look like. And I can't flip it over. So I'm not interested, right? I'll go to a store to find it. This is the last step, right? This allows you to be able to, you know, literally pick up the product, turn it over, you know.
What do you think? What you're talking about, the basketball and the gloves or no gloves, and you get the touch and feel. Can you imagine being able to virtually show up, like walk the store and pick up the can of beans and have that relative weight potentially, or the feel of it,
for
or
sure.
Say, okay, this feels like the box. Cause I, you don't want to do, let's say you, like you're in a small apartment, you got limited space and you're doing the same thing you just said, like a toilet paper 4-pack roll looks the same as a 24 pack. I only have limited space. Like, how does this work? And you could pick it up and say, oh, nah, shit, they ain't going to work. Or maybe I can take it from the shelf in the Amazon store, walk into my house, put it into my virtual cupboard and say, oh, yeah, it does fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, all that kind of shit where you can basically – I can feel like I'm actually shopping, but maybe I actually can even be in both locations at the same time. I can be in the store, pop out, and be in my house and say, yeah, this fits. I've got room for this, or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm assuming that's where it can go, or where it's going.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
You would imagine that at some point, every single space needs to get scanned, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? My house, my room, my body, the shelves of the grocery store, everything has to eventually be scanned and like in the system, in the matrix, if I mean. And then from there, anything's possible.
That's what kind of freaks me out too. So when you start going down, you say the matrix and shit, then I'm starting to think, you start to wonder how much is too much. I know you two get excited, but you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can be excited like the two of you.
Why are you not excited? I don't understand.
Want anybody fucking scanning the house here, there, fucking this. Like, get out of here. You need to know everything for me. You know, we go cashless and then we're going to go all this shit. Everybody, I don't like all this stuff. Who knows what's going on out there?
Oh, Kenny.
What happened to the days of being a little bit secret? We gotta have
just wait till we rebuild you as a digital twin, and then you're gonna be.
One's more than enough. No.
I'm in a COVID bomb shelter, by the way.
One's enough.
Oh man,
I don't know. It just sounds sometimes like it's too much. Because I know what you guys are saying. I don't know how much. I don't know.
I don't. I think though. Yeah, I mean...
Like, what does it do for you? So they scan my whole house, so I know I could put a pair of shoes in the closet. But really, you got to know... look in the closet, dude. You got your eyes. Can I going to fit? It's going to fit.
No, dude. I think that alone, you know, the number of times, like, so I love my wife, and we are on the same page for so many things. But when it comes so to, like... But you know what? Like, when it comes to things like... like spatial things, we are not like this is exactly where I think.
Oh, Amelia has no spatial ability. Right? Like Amelia has no spatial ability.
So,
zero.
Like imagine that. You know, like do you know how many rolls of masking tape I've wasted just to go? Look, honey, if
this is what it's going to look like. I get it.
Look, I'm taping this down. This is what physically, and you know, and there's like this.
And still,
you know, and then you start getting into like AutoCAD and shit like that to try and make something come alive. You know, all of a sudden, now you've got all of this, right? Like, it's you know, so I think it's all there. I you know, anyway.
Hey, you know, a wicked app to develop would be what you guys were talking about, like a POS style app where the buyers can, you know, create the app in a way where you can upload inventory or goods, retail goods. Make options for, you know, like PDQs in there.
Yeah.
Make options for like
show me how it's going to look.
Yeah.
Let's build it. Let's build it together.
Absolutely.
8 foot wall.
Right.
Yeah. And then you can merchandise it and have the buyer walk around. But then the only downfall, or you're at the mercy of, does the buyer have a goggle, some kind of a VR headset? Which the answer is no.
But you know what? So if you're shooting a presentation and you can get a listing, they'll have the damn goggles. We'll bring them a goggle. Goddamn right. Going to take it back.
But it
would definitely give them a, because you think about it, if we could do, remember how we used to do it? I'd come over to you guys and we'd sit on the floor and we try to look at shit. And, you know, and I know, I mean, I've got enough retail experience where I can kind of build something in my head, but it's not going to be perfect. If I could have put some goggles on and picked the shit off the floor and built the planogram, that would have been freaking ridiculous.
If I'm a buyer and you're sending me an Oculus headset, I'm not giving it back.
No, nor would I, but that's okay.
I don't care.
I give it to my son because Steve let me use his. I was getting sick. I can't. He made me go on this elevator, push the floor, right? I get it to the floor. He wants me to walk out. I'm not walking out on that ledge. I went to another floor. I knew how to do that part. I went back in the elevator.
Steve, this is amazing.
It's crazy, eh?
Thank you for walking us through. This is
So Phil will come out here one time, Steve, and you guys can meet, because I think you guys would have a hoot together.
Yeah, it'd be wicked fun. Yeah.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, I love this so much. Thank you, Phil, before you thank him too much, this is
the guy who listens to our podcast one time and says, I don't understand the whole point of the podcast. All you guys do is talk. It wasn't even that interesting to talk. You guys are just talking to yourselves. I've listened to this podcast. Who cares? No. Oh, bullshit. That's paraphrase. No. Both.
That is okay. No, but that's okay.
That's not what I said. What I said was, I happened to catch the episode where you guys were like bantering about, Kenny was super, just got out of prison, never seen a microphone or headset before. And he was like going, he like went on for like 20 minutes about how cool his headset was. I'm like, fuck, buddy, we get it. You got a cool headset. Like, what am I listening to here?
See what I mean? That's why, if it wasn't for the virtual reality of Phil, never going to
have sitting style. There like hungry, waiting for content. I'm like, okay, when are they going to say something? Because usually when I hang out with Ken, I learn something, I laugh something. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you're he didn't give me nothing. I got my mouth all ready for dessert. No dessert.
Dirty got a glass of water.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. We've got a few episodes like that. But I think the funny thing is this podcast literally came out of it just like that, right? And I think that if nobody listened to it, we'd probably do this podcast anyway. Just because
I'm not convinced anybody listens to it now. So, quite frankly, it's just the three of us tonight.
No. Linda listens to us.
Oh, we got a couple.
We know Linda does. But, the boss.
Well, yeah. The boss. Thanks, thank you, Linda. Linda, we appreciate your support.
Thank you, Linda.
We have our one listener. Even our family doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna make my wife listen to it, just like, you know. It's like required reading.
Yeah, that's all we need. Poor Jackie.
We're sorry.
Yeah.
But when Steve shoots everything in 360, we'll watch the baby coming. Yeah. Or maybe we won't. I don't know.
I don't think so.
It's happening. No, the camera's gonna be strategically placed, you know? It's all about strategic placement.
Okay.
It'll be the view of a very safe, viewable area. You know, very classy, entertaining, exhilarating, all the things you want out of a good birth.
That's awesome.
I like it. Man. Thank you for doing this.
Do you have a webpage you want to send them to, Steve, if they want to look at the cool toys, or if you got any cool video that you want to share?
Not really. It all comes up. We're releasing, other than abacusbrands.com is the stuff online, of course, and then Amazon will have a huge offering of all the good stuff at good, you know, cool prices. But it's a launch year for us, right? So we're very cautious and conservative and excited at the same time. It's an interesting year, but amidst all this crazy COVID stuff, so
it's going to be a cool thing, buddy. People are going to be looking to stay home a lot more. These toys are fucking awesome to play with. They're really cool. There's a little bit of old school and a whole ton of new school into it. I'm honestly, man, I've sold this probably a pallet, or I've given it away. I'm not too sure which one it is. We're all Italian friends, so I don't know what we're going to get out of the deal. But, you know, we'll have some product in the world. We're not getting any money out of it.
I think that this year, I mean, you think of the number of parents who are going to be on Zoom calls all day that 100%. Have, you know, like, and Kenny and I have talked about this, like we're thankful because we've got older children, but if you've got younger children, like the, you know, screen time aside, something like this, you know, something like this is something that you, you know, you want your kids to have your hands on, right? Because they're learning. Yeah. It's it's entertaining. It's learning. It's everything they need, you know, to kind of keep them engaged and learning.
Keep the parents sane.
So, yeah,
I got a lot of parents that are praying for this virus to end pretty fast, eh?
Yeah, you know,
I got a lot of parents worried that this is one long spring break or summer break.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
it is. Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm glad my kids are that age that if they were home all day, I would probably kill them.
Yeah.
It's That's a, you know, Jesus.
It's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve, thanks very much, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Sounds good, man. I'll chat with you soon anyway.
Thank you.
Okay,
bud. Take it easy.
Thanks, Steve.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Pretty cool shit, eh?
That's cool shit.
Pretty cool shit, man.
That is.
It's a whole new world out there.
So cool.
Like, you guys get into the gaming stuff in the rooms. Yeah, those are all cool. I'm really, you know, because I just love the applications that we could do practical applications.
I don't care about the gaming. Like, the gaming is not it for me. I think it's
the rooms I could do. Like those I've done one of those what do you call them?
Yeah.
We did it as a detective room.
Yeah.
Because I can't do the ones where there's gore and shit there. I get scared. But on virtual, that would have been freaking ridiculous.
But so think of all the other things that you could do with this. Like, this unlocks like a ton of things for me, right? Like, so I'll just say, like, for the brands that are listening to us, probably what I was envisioning last week isn't realistic, right? Like, what I want, like being able to put a band in somebody's hand, you know, to
not
be
yet.
Able to, you know, not yet, right?
And so, how far
so
away?
That's not a thing.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, but well, it's just not something that I you know, from a brand perspective, I probably spend a ton of time on. But I do think that, you know, think of all the other applications that come with this. Like, think of, to me, there's a ton of things here around scrapbooking. So think of your parents, right? And then the ability to capture like 360 moments of your parents or VR moments of your parents that one day you can keep in, you know, a virtual photo album.
Can you imagine the photo albums you can create that will actually be live?
That you can pass on to your children your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. And all of a sudden the conversations really come to life, right?
Because, and have them tell the story.
You know,
Right.
And you know, to me, that's huge.
I think it's crazy. I think that the where it could go.
Yeah.
For stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's insane. I don't even know. Like, it's almost limitless, right? Like, in some ways, it's what attracts me to the podcast world, right? Is that
totally,
you know, this stuff that we're putting out. Like, I just put out the new podcast that I wanted to do, right? The first episode. And part of that is a legacy bit, right? Is that one day you hope, like, my grandkids and my great grandkids might be able to hear some of that, right? But the VR stuff and the 360 in particular is like, whoa, that's so crazy.
I think it's amazing. Yeah. I'll give you an example, like old school. Before my grandmother, so my mom's mom and my mom's great aunt. So the two of them, my mom was smart enough at one time to, with a tape recorder, old school, right?
Yeah.
Do the recording and have them. Can you imagine the family aspect? So you do a week worth of family dinner filming or whatever, or could you imagine doing interview on interview with Bill Gates and talking about whatever you want, and then being able to go in maybe in 4 or 5 years and go into a catalog and you do the interview now with Bill Gates, ask, like, because he's had all this film and you could talk, what do you think about this, what do you think about that, and I should be able to have almost like a true conversation,
like an extrapolation.
Imagine it'd be nuts.
So to me, that's where some of this stuff is super cool. The the training stuff, I think in the pharmaceutical world that I deal with, They're just getting into it. So I didn't realize how many other companies were using this. That stuff's really cool too. That's like the ability to train, you know, imagine like right now, you've got store associates who are in stores. You might have students that have been thrown into situations where they're building planograms they've never seen before. You can't be there, but with augmented reality, if they wore a set of goggles, you'd actually be able, you would do is you would go with them and you would say, you know, right now on a screen, you would go, no, go to your left and then go like three down. In this case, you would go, you could literally draw a circle around this guy. It doesn't belong there. It goes there. Right.
Well, and you could literally do, Phil,
go like that, you know, and
you could both be in it. And mm-hmm. pick it off the shelf yourself. You say, okay, build it.
Yeah.
And then you could go in and rebuild it and show them.
Yeah.
I mean, think of that. Well, that's mental.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's both, right? As one is a virtual, but I think what I meant was like literally at the shelf, right? Like, so physically at a real planogram shelf, you'd actually still be able to go, hey dude, it's right there. It's up on your upper left corner. Right. Or you're cleaning, even more importantly, you're cleaning the meat grinder. Right. Like flip this switch, flip that. Don't put your hand in there. Like, you know, like all those sort of things, like real world examples, right?
Do it. Your maple leaf. And you want to show how you clean shit. Yeah. So you don't get listeria.
Yeah.
And have an outbreak like they did.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, if you think about it, what's the real thing that's, I mean, flight simulators, pilots, training of pilots and stuff has been done in a sort of VR world for a long time where you get the shake, you know, that's what they've done. Mm-hmm. But it'd be so cool in an everyday application. Anyway, that was a freaking hoot.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Steve. Steve's awesome, man. That's amazing. He really is. He's a good shit. You'd love him.
Yeah. He's
a good shit.
Seems like a really cool dude.
And he's so hyperactive, man. He's so like bouncy. Awesome. He's a blast.
Man. I love being around him. Man. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. Yeah, I've got some stuff to do tonight. You know, get some shit done before I go to bed. It's already 9 o'clock, right? Well, midnight for you.
Yeah, midnight for me. Yeah.
No, things are okay. I'll let you know next week. Got some news tomorrow that I'm hoping goes in our favor.
Okay.
And then my life might even just get a tad easier for a little while. Which
okay.
Really fucking okay. Sweet. So okay. It's all good, man. Like, all good. I mean, even in a shitty time, and it's unfortunate because there's a lot of people that are really struggling right now, and I don't want to gloat, and that's maybe I should have done that, but you know, I'm a very fortunate person.
Yeah, it's really tough. I worry about
our economy, and I don't want to talk like we're tone deaf.
No, I don't think so.
I mean,
I don't think we're definitely not. I mean,
you know, I think it's going to be. But just for everybody out there who is having a tough time, I'm telling you, man, there's a big difference when you have an economic downturn because of economics. That's a problem. An economic downturn that had nothing to do with economics can only, in my mind, spell a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
May not come lightning fast, but definitively a lot faster than an economic downturn because of bad economics.
Yeah.
That's a problem. This isn't that. So I think we will get out of this. At a much quicker rate once we get out of this shit right now. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we don't run past end of May, end of June, but I mean, it's not in our hands. It's a bug. It'll have to, I think Fauci said it, it's the virus is the one driving right now.
So, you know, I'm mindful that we're like an hour into this already, but there is one thing I think that retailers need to think about is, you know, there is a new normal coming. So the rebound is coming, but there's 100%. A new normal coming too. Like, I think, you know, everything changes, right? Like, you know, because whenever we get back to it, you're not going to get the number of people congregating in one place. We're all going to be a little bit gun shy.
Online. You
know, we've talked the about the online, this. You know,
get that
pickup in store just got really accelerated, right? Like,
it's a big deal.
You know, so like
if you're not that person, I'm sorry, start thinking about it. We've talked about this, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, reorganizing inventory, like, you know, do your retail space get a whole lot smaller and you've just got a ton of storage space? How do you figure out curb pickup? You know, like all that stuff has got to come, right? Like,
I think you better get organized, you know? Because it is going to come. And if you don't do it, you're going to miss.
Yeah.
You're going to miss.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't think we're going to get, I mean, I don't know if I ever want to go back into a Costco on a normal Saturday with 15,000 people. I'm quite enjoying the shopping experience at a Costco. Now, again, please don't. I we're in a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not what, this is not why we want to do this.
Yeah,
and this what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is when it does get better and we get out of this shit, don't assume that everybody's going to be running back to the way it was, because fear has a way to linger.
Won't be.
And quite frankly, you get used to something that's kind of different. You're thinking, this wasn't that, it doesn't feel too bad outside of why we're in this. How do we replicate this in a more positive way with less bullshit around us? And how does it work?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. It really is. It's going to be a very interesting ride.
If you're a retailer in our audience, we'd love to talk to you. I think plotting out the new normal is something that we probably as an industry need to get to sooner than later. So if you're out there, we'd love to talk to you, like just to spitball around what that looks like or what you'd want to think about.
Maybe maybe it's time to invite a few buddies on who own and manage different retail space.
What's
it like managing a superstore today or a London Drugs or a smaller grocer or whatever it is?
The retailers and then the other side, the service side. I mean, even you guys, right? Like the coffee bar.
Problem with coffee
bar. How do you change? Yeah, but you know, the new normal. So what does that look like? Like, do you now become a coffee drive-through bar, like a coffee pickup bar?
I'll tell you what we're thinking of doing. You know, so we're on this, right? So what we're thinking of doing is going in tomorrow and taking a look at the space and saying, okay, when this does open, what does it look like?
Yeah.
And in the short term, because we have a lot of people asking us, because we sold a lot of coffee in the bar, not just drip and espresso, but the beans, the ground. So what we're thinking of doing is potentially opening the bar for limited hours a day, maybe 4 hours a day, 10 till 2, whatever, doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And offering, you have to Shopify it, order ahead, and you can come pick up during these times. So we're not handling money. We're not handling credit cards. We'll leave the door open. We're going to put a plexi between whatever staff we have and the customer. Limit one customer per store, but strictly for a pickup of the coffee beans in this time where you may, you know, if you really like it, it's a nice, it's, you know, I mean, I know it's not necessarily the necessity of life. It is for me and you probably, coffee in general, but it is one of those things that does make sometimes shitty times feel a little bit better. But as long as we can do it where we're protecting our staff, I don't want anybody getting hurt. I don't want anybody getting sick.
Yeah.
So we are thinking of that too, Phil. Just how do we do this at this time when we're allowed to do that, but in a responsible way? You know, and what does it look like? It's going to be interesting, man. The numbers are not positive. Emilio's reading tonight. They figure 30% of small business will not reopen if this drags out another couple, 2-3 weeks.
Well,
that's a big number.
We're talking about, Toronto's talking about 12 weeks right now.
In 12 weeks, my friend, you will lose more than 30% of your small business.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you will definitively.
Know. Yeah.
How's that positive? Right? That's a lot of people that are going to get hurt.
It's a lot. Yeah.
That's not, there's nothing good in that.
Yeah.
But again, though, start thinking.
But that's the thing, right? Is I think that's what's prompting this is, you know, there are some industries, unfortunately, like service industries, you know, I have a friend that I'm thinking about. She owns like one of those wax on bars, you know, and I don't know if there's a new normal for her yet.
I don't know.
Right. Like, and she might have to wait until the all clear is really all clear. Right. But there are, you know, the little grocers, the little retailers, you know. Yeah, I mean, how do you do that, right? Like, it's either that we're all going to be going back to hippie hair or like
or shaved, we get this, you know, the thing. Cut, right? Sorry, like, but that could change a whole freaking industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, changes a whole.
Not to say we won't go back, but I don't know how quickly. And maybe now we are even looking at the places we go. And we're thinking, geez, that's really tight in there.
Yeah.
I hope it's clean. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, all these things that didn't bug you last week or a month ago, you know, all the you're thinking, oh, shit, I don't want to go through this again. Like we don't want to be down. We can't do this again next year for 12 weeks, 15 weeks, or whatever the hell this is going to be. This is, you know, we gotta manage this, right? Going forward.
I went out for my weekly shop, and then one of the stops today was to grab a couple of like work sawhorses, right? Because I've now that I'm you know, we know we're gonna be home for another 12 weeks, all the kids' little tables in their rooms aren't big enough, right? And so, you know, I've done all sorts of I've got lots of boards and counters around. So I picked up a couple of sawhorses to put out a table, right, for one of my daughters. And I was walking down one of the aisles at Canadian Tire, and you know, there was like three people in the aisle, so I kind of like stopped and just waited. And then somebody wandered into it, a fourth, and they went, "Oh, sorry, are you?" And I went, no, I'm not going in there. I'll wait till you guys are done. I'm cool with it, right? Like, and he kind of like stopped and looked, and you know, but it is a new normal, right? Like the other guys, like one guy said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I'm just browsing. I'll get out of here." You know, and so
conscious.
When I,
what does it show you? You're conscious of it, right?
Yeah,
we're not.
Yeah.
Like six feet separation doesn't sound like a lot until you go to a grocery store or a normal store, and then you're thinking, "There's no place in here I can be 6 feet apart from anybody."
No.
Like it's. Yeah. I mean, I don't want us to over. I don't think right now you can overreact. I really don't.
No, you can't.
You really got to be super
cautious.
We're
so early in this, and we're learning so many things that you can't. All of it's, you know, but retailers are going to have to change. Canadian Tire had still their typical dump bins near the cash register. Yeah. And like, so you could stay 6 feet behind or in front of somebody, but there was no, you know, the side to side wingspan.
Exactly.
There's no way you were going to get 6 feet, right? And so there are a whole bunch of moments that, like it probably took me like 30 minutes to pay because I just, I wasn't going down that aisle, right? Because, you know, I had the front distance, but the side, like people were blowing by me and I was just like, this is not 6 feet. Like this is, you know, like,
like checkout lanes all of a sudden feel really close. And if you go to the self-serve, you're thinking, oh man, this is even worse. Like, I don't know what's good. I mean, you start to think, Jesus. Anyway. Okay. We're an hour 15 and we've got to get out.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying on. And then,
Kenny, Jordan next week.
We do. Yeah.
I think he's requested Wednesday night. I think he sent an invite.
I don't think I did yet, but I will.
I think he did. Double check to see what he sent.
I think he did.
For...
Yeah.
So it's up to you. I think I can do either night.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
All right. I'll ping you after. We'll figure it out.
Sure. Whatever. He's a good kid. So.
Yeah. All right. Thanks folks.
Okay,
stay we'll safe. Soon, stay well. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Physical distancing.
Bye.
All right, that's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more Commerce News.